Isaiah 62. It's not a very long chapter, but it's exciting. For Zion's sake, this is verse 1, will I not hold my peace? And for Jerusalem's sake, I will not rest. And so the righteousness thereof go forth as brightness, and the salvation thereof as a lamp that burns. Now you need to understand who's speaking. It's kind of exciting when you see who is speaking. The Messiah here is the one doing the talking. The Messiah is Jesus Christ, although rejected by the Jews and by many people all around the world. Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. He's the Messiah. He died on the cross at Calvary, shed his blood for the sins of the world, and was buried and rose again on the third day. He is the Messiah. And look what he says, for the sake of Zion, my holy city, the place where God said he has placed his name, for the sake of Zion, I will not hold my peace. That means I will not be quiet. And for Jerusalem's sake, I will not rest. Until the righteousness thereof go forth as brightness, and the salvation thereof as a lamp that burns. Messiah says, I'm not going to shut up, and I will not rest until it's accomplished all that has been promised. He says, and the Gentiles shall see your righteousness, and all kings your glory. And you shall be called by a new name, which the mouth of the Lord shall name. Remember, he's talking about Jerusalem now. For the sake of Zion, for the sake of Jerusalem, I'm not going to rest. And he says, the Gentiles will see your righteousness. All kings will see your glory. You shall be called by a new name, which the mouth of the Lord shall name. Isn't that interesting? Messiah speaking, saying, I'm not going to shut up. I'm going to keep on talking, and I'm going to keep on working. And the thing that has been promised to Israel, the promise that Jerusalem would be the capital of the world someday, the center of the earth, where God will actually set up his throne, the throne of David, and Jesus will rule and reign forever and ever. He says, I will not rest until that's done. I don't know about you, but I think that's good news. If you think about it. Look, thou shalt also be a crown of glory in the hand of the Lord, and a royal diadem in the hand of your God. You know, if you have ever read through the book of Ruth, it's a short book. You'll find it in the Old Testament, even before Isaiah, way back. In the book of Ruth, Naomi, who is Ruth's mother-in-law, Naomi and Ruth are poor. They are not doing well. They are living back in the area of Bethlehem. Things aren't going well for them. They're in deep trouble. You remember that. And there's a man named Boaz. And Boaz sees Ruth and thinks, whoa. I put that in there. The Bible doesn't say whoa. And he decides that he can redeem her. He finds out that they are kinsmen, that they are related, and he can become her kinsman Goel, redeemer. And he says to Ruth, I'll do that. Now there is another relative that I need to deal with, but you go home and I'll take care of it. And Boaz says, now it's in my hands, I'll see to it. And Ruth went home and told everything to her mother-in-law. I know that you remember the story. But in Ruth chapter 3, verse 18, Naomi, her mother-in-law, says a very interesting statement. Now, Boaz is a type of Jesus Christ, a type of the Messiah. Jesus is our kinsman Goel. He's our Redeemer. He became flesh and blood that he might be related to us, that he could purchase us back. He could redeem us. And so Naomi says in Ruth chapter 3, verse 18, listen closely. Then she said to her daughter-in-law, you sit still, my daughter, until you know how the matter will fall. For the man will not be in rest until he have finished the thing this day. Did you hear that? Boaz will not rest until this is a done deal. Boaz is a type of who? Messiah. He is our kinsman redeemer, our Goel redeemer. Now, what did Messiah just say way back in Isaiah 62? I will not hold my peace for Jerusalem's sake, and I will not rest. The same idea is carried there. You find it all the way through Scripture. Jesus didn't just die on the cross, pay the price for sins, go back to heaven, sit down, put his feet up and say, boy, I'm done. I'll wait for you guys to get here. No, he will not rest until his word, his promises are completed. And you know, you can go to Philippians and you can find it in chapter 1. You'll see it in verse 6. He who began a work in you is faithful to complete that work. He started a work in me and you. He will not rest until that is finished. You say, I am an absolute mess. Join the club. Me too. And anybody that says they're not has another little bit of a mess that hasn't been dealt with either. And Jesus is not going to rest. No, he is not in heaven sitting down with his feet up saying, well, I did my part. Now you guys get with it. He is making intercession for you daily. You are not alone. And you're going through trials and struggles, I know, but you're not alone. There he is. And he says, I'm not going to be quiet, and I will not rest until these things are accomplished. Ruth says, you can rest assured, Ruth, that this man will not rest until it's a done deal. That's our Redeemer, our kinsman Goel. You say, man, my Christian walk is a mess. It is lousy. I am weak. I am worthless. But it is not dependent upon you. Grace. You see, it's grace. Should we obey? Yes, we should. Why? Because we love him. Because he first loved us, 1 John 4:19. We love because he first loved us. You see, if you're truly born again, you are so taken care of that you ought to just sigh a breath of relief and get to work for the kingdom. Because you don't have to worry about what you're going to eat, what you're going to wear, what's going to happen to you. What if this happens? What if that happens? I remember the Y2K panic. And people would say, why don't you guys worry? Because we're not being fools. The truth is we do not have to fear what tomorrow will bring. Don't take no thought about tomorrow, Jesus says. Today, sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. I have so much to get through today, I can't concern myself about electricity for tomorrow. Is it a sin to have a power generator? No. It's not a sin to have a spare tire. It's not a sin to own more than one blanket. It is not a sin to have matches in your house. But are you really dependent on that tire, on that generator, on those matches, on that blanket? Really? Do you think a blanket's going to help in the long run? Don't you understand it's Jesus Christ? And he says, I'm not going to rest until it's all complete. Boaz, the man will not be in rest until he has finished the thing this day. God loves you. We read this in verse 2. The Gentiles shall see your righteousness. All kings will see your glory. And you shall be called by a new name. Well, in verse 4, we see what the old name is. The old name for Jerusalem, forsaken and desolate. There's a great name for you. The city that's been forsaken. Take a look at it, everybody. Have you been there? Have you seen pictures of it? Oh, you might think it's beautiful. But if you saw the same kind of thing in America, you go, oh, yuck. Not a lot of things grow out there. Now, they're getting water down. They are growing a few grapes here and there. But I mean, there are some mountains. When Jesus went out in the wilderness, you can go out in that wilderness today over by Jericho, and there nothing grows, nothing. There are no plants coming out of it. It's just dirt and rock and mountain and hot. I think that's beautiful. But most people go, yuck. Yeah, it's desolate. That's what it is. Like it or not. Today even. Even with technology, much of that country is wilderness. but not always will it be. You'll be called by a new name. You'll also be a crown of glory in the land of the Lord and a royal diadem in the hand of thy God. Thou shalt no more be called forsaken. Neither shall the land any more be called or termed desolate. Verse 4 says, but you shall be called Hephzibah. There's something you wish you were called, isn't it? It means my delight or delightful. And if you didn't know that it meant that, just read the rest of the verse. It tells you. You'll not only be called Hephzibah, but you'll be called, your land will be called Beulah. That word means married one. One who is married. It's an old hymn, Beulah land. That means the land that is married to someone. For the Lord delights in you, and your land shall be married. See how he just translated it all for you? My delight, Hephzibah, Beulah means married one. The Lord delights in you, and the land shall be married. And what does he mean? Verse 5. For as a young man marries a virgin, so shall your sons marry you. And as a bridegroom rejoices over the bride, so shall God rejoice over you. Here's what he's saying. Let me say that in American. He's saying, once again, my delight will be in this land. Once again, my delight will be here. You take a look at it today, it's not that way. There are still troubles over there. It's still ugliness over there. Oh, there are some pretty spots, but that land is kind of a mess. And there are troubles all around. But he says, you'll also be a married one. And verse 5 explains it. People will once again live in and around Jerusalem all the way. It'll be crowded. And God will be happy with all once again. He'll be delighted with that place. Do you remember reading in Genesis, in the beginning, when God created? Do you remember God would create the light, or would create the trees, or whatever, you know, as you go through it? What did he say about it? And God said, it is good. See, God was delighted with what he had done. It was a beautiful place, and God was delighted. And once again, someday, during the millennium, when Jesus Christ comes back, you're going to see then God delighted with that land. And he'll say once again, it is good again. And people will come from all over and want to be a part of all that. And that's what he's telling us there. Now, he goes on and says, you know, I have set watchmen upon the walls. O Jerusalem, which shall never hold their peace day nor night. You that make mention of the Lord, don't keep silence. And give him no rest till he establish, till he make Jerusalem a praise in the earth. The Lord has sworn by his right hand and by the arm of his strength, surely I will no more give thy corn to be meat for your enemies, and the sons of the stranger shall not drink your wine for that which thou hast labored. But they that have gathered it shall eat it and praise the Lord, and they that have brought it together shall drink it in the courts of my holiness. Now go back. I wanted to read those verses together. Go back to verse 6. I have set watchmen upon thy walls, O Jerusalem, which shall never hold their peace day nor night. You that make mention of the Lord, don't keep silence, and give him no rest till he establish, until he make Jerusalem a praise in the earth. Watchmen. Watchmen were stationed on the walls. And they, you notice, they don't sleep. When your position is on the wall and it's your turn, you take that position and you do not sleep. You don't nap. You keep your eyes open, and your job is to look across the area that your part of the wall covers. And you can't keep silent. Anything you see, you need to let the message ring out. That's what he says. The watchmen were told to keep a continuous watch. And the watchmen were to hold God's promises and never stop praying for God's people. He set the watchmen on the wall. We are told that we are watchmen on the wall. Ezekiel, God said, I've placed you as a watchman on the wall. Now tell people what you see. God has told his disciples, you need to go to the whole world. I'm setting you on the wall. And that you need to go to the world and tell them what you know. Tell them what you see. Don't stop. Isn't that what he says? They should never hold their peace day nor night. We should be telling people the good news. At work, at school, at home, wherever we are, by our actions, by our words, however we can do it, we should be telling people the gospel, the good news. That's what the watchmen do. And notice, he says an interesting thing. I think it's interesting. He says, you that make mention of the Lord, don't keep silence. And then continue speaking about the Lord. He says, and don't give him any rest. You hear that? Don't give God any rest. I like that. Earlier on, what did Messiah say? I will not rest. What's he telling all of us who have been given a message and a responsibility? Don't give the Lord any rest. What is he saying? Pray all the time. Cry out to God for the lost, for your family, for your friends, all the time. Pray and stay in prayer. Don't give God any rest at all. How are we doing? Giving him a lot of rest? Lord, I haven't spoken to you in a couple of weeks, but boy, I got something to say now. Wait a minute. We should be praying all the time. You know, Luke chapter 11. Jesus is telling us how we ought to be praying. In Luke 11, I'm going to start in verse 5, go through verse 8. Jesus said unto them, which of you shall have a friend and shall go to him at midnight and say to him, friend, lend me 3 loaves. Could you lend me some bread? For a friend of mine in his journey is come to me, stopped at my house, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer, the guy on the inside of the house, while you're knocking on his door saying, I got some friends who have shown it from out of town. I don't have any bread. Can I borrow some bread, please? Well, the guy from inside says, don't bother me. Go away. The door is closed. My children are in bed with me. I cannot rise now and give you anything. I'm in bed. I'm comfortable. It's a little too cold. I've already locked the door. I'm all settled in for the night. Go away. And he says this, I say to you, Jesus says, though he will not rise and give him because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needs. What did he just say? Easy. Even though that guy won't get up because you're his friend, he will get up if you keep knocking and refuse to go away. Just to get you to stop knocking. Here, take the bread, take the kids, take anything you want. Just leave me alone. I need to get some sleep. Now, if you'll read further on, Jesus is going to say, now, if you know how to do these kind of things, how much more would your Heavenly Father? See, we are sinners. And he says, let me just take a simple case of you going to a friend's house and saying, I need some help. And the friend won't get up and you go, come on, man. I got no place else to go. You're a friend of mine. We've been friends a long time. Get out of that bed. Help me. No, man, go away. Come on. You're my last hope. All right. I'll give it to you. I'll give you anything you want. Here, take it on. Go away. And he says, but God is a giver and he is a lover and he loves you. And when you continue to knock with God, God doesn't do it just to get you out of there. God hears you and loves you. He says in Luke 18, starting in verse 1, he spoke a parable unto them to this end, that men should always pray and not give up. Or faint. Always pray. He said this, there was in a city a judge which did not fear God, neither did he regard any man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came to the judge. She said this, avenge me of mine adversary. And the judge would not for a while. But afterward he said within himself, though I do not fear God nor do regard man, yet because this widow troubles me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. I gotta get this woman off my back. I don't care about God. I don't really care about her situation. But she is going to drive me crazy. I need to deal with it just to get her away from me. And the Lord said this, hear what the unjust judge said. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cried day and night to him, though he bear along with them? I tell you, he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, shall he find faith on the earth? You know what he just said? Don't give up. Keep on praying. He told us that little parable. He spoke a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not give up. What did he say back in Isaiah 62? I have set watchmen upon your walls, O Jerusalem, which shall never hold their peace day and night. You that make mention of the Lord, don't keep silence, and give him no rest till he establish, till he make Jerusalem a praise in the earth. Weren't we told, and you can find this in the Psalms, weren't we told that we should pray for the peace of Jerusalem? Isn't that something we should all be doing? Weren't we told that we should knock and we should seek, that we should ask, and we should continue to do that? Are we guilty of fainting, growing weary? Jesus told us a parable so that we would always pray and not give up on our prayers. Sometimes it seems like they're not being answered. Sometimes it seems like they're going nowhere. Sometimes it seems like you say, I've been praying this and nothing's happening. But you don't know that nothing's happening. You just feel that way, or that's what it looks like to you. You don't know that. Something is happening. Well, how do I know? Because Jesus himself said, I'm not going to rest. I'm going to make sure that the promises that have been promised to all of you are completed. That you've got everything that God has promised to you. Now, God has promised you a lot of things. If you would like to know what they are, start in the beginning in Genesis 1:1 and read just real slowly all the way through. There are a lot of promises in God's word for you and for me. For God's people. For God's elect. For Israel. For the church. All sorts of promises. You need to know who's who. You've got your scorecard here. You should be able to tell the players. You need to know who's who. God promised, and he's going to keep his word. Have you given up on him? The reason I say that is because in Isaiah 62, he says, you that make mention of the Lord, don't keep silent. You keep on sharing the good news. You keep on mentioning the Lord. You say, well, I've tried with this guy. I've tried with this girl. They just don't seem to be interested. But there is someone who is interested. The fields are white under harvest. Continue to share where you are, how you are living, with what's going on all around you. Don't assume nothing's happening. Keep going. Why? Because that's what God said. He'll give you the strength. He said, you ought to just keep praying and you shouldn't faint. He said this, make mention of the Lord. You that make mention, don't keep silent, and give him no rest. Continue to cry out to your Father. Continue to knock. Say, Lord, this is what we see. Lord, I see so-and-so is headed in the wrong direction. I cry out to you for him, for her. I cry out to you. I lift them up to you, Lord. They're in need of this. Lord, their whole family is falling apart. Lord, I don't understand, but I continue to bring it to the judge. Bring it to the king. Bring it to the one who can do something about it. And Jesus said this. After he talked about that unjust judge, I read it quickly, but I hope you heard it. After he talked about the unjust judge, he said, that judge did it just to get this woman off his back. But that's not the way God is. And he says, God will avenge his own, which cried day and night to him, though he bear long with them, though it seems like it's never going to change, it's going to go on. Don't give up. I tell you, he will avenge them speedily. Then he says something that seems to come out of nowhere. Nevertheless, When the Son of Man comes, shall he find faith on the earth? What did he mean by that? What he was saying was, will you, by the power of the Holy Spirit, be willing to just hold on until I come back and get you? Or are you going to give up and walk away? He told us the parable to this end, that we would always pray and not give up. But what are we seeing in our generation? People are giving up on God. They are taking matters into their own hands. The divorce rate in the church is as high, if not higher, than in the secular world. Why? Because they are giving up on what God has promised. They are walking away from their own commitments. They give up. We're all weak. We need strength. That's what's going on around us. People are walking away. And so Jesus says, when the Son of Man comes, will he even find faith on the earth? Literally, the faith. Is there anybody going to be left who is simply walking with me and following me just like I called them to do? I've set you as a watchman on the wall. So stay there and make your noise. Well, people don't want to hear it. But your responsibility isn't whether they want to hear it. Your responsibility is to make sure you don't cease from telling it. He says, I will not rest until it's all completed. The one that began a work in you is going to complete that work. Now, our job is to continue to pray and never give up. And it seems like I hear more and more, there's no hope. It's useless. Or one of the ones that I think that you'd start to want to collect money for is this one. I've tried. How many times have you heard that in the last 6 months? Thousands. I give up. Well, no, this is what God said. I've tried. Now, that statement means I'm finished, doesn't it? That's someone, when you and me say, I've tried, we are saying, I'm done. I am done trying. I am not going to listen to God. I am not going to pray. I'm walking away. I'm leaving this stupid thing. I have tried. And Jesus says, but I told you this parable to the end that you would always pray and never give up. But when the Son of Man returns, will he find faith on the earth? He says, give him no rest, verse 7, till he establish, until he make Jerusalem a praise in the earth. Jesus is coming back. It will be his second time here. He was in Jerusalem about 2,000 years ago. He was rejected. They took him out of the city and they nailed him to the cross at Calvary. Hebrews 13 says he was taken out of the camp. And those of us that want to follow, let us go out of the camp with him, bearing his reproach. If they treat the master that way, they treat the servants that way. Where Jesus is, that's where we go. Even though it's the garbage dump and it's the place that stinks and it's where they murder people, that's where we go. Because that's where they took Jesus. We are separated from the rest of the world. We walk with the Lord. We are not called to take it easy, to have it comfortable. We are called to be committed to him. And another thing that hopefully this will make you feel better about yourself, we have not been called to be correct. We have been called to be committed. He realizes that you leave me to wander, I'll make mistakes. He's not concerned about mistakes. He doesn't want me disobeying. See, a mistake is one thing, a sin is another. Of course, we in America like to call sins mistakes. We like to say, I've made a lot of mistakes. And what we're saying is, I'm a louse and a weasel. I'm headed for hell. No, a mistake is one thing. Like 2 + 3 = 6. That's a mistake. Sin is something bigger than a mistake. And he says, don't give God any rest till he establish, till he make Jerusalem a praise in the earth. It's going to happen, is what the Bible's telling you. Jerusalem will be the place, the city of the great king. It will be a delightful place. It will no longer be called barren or desolate. It will be a place that is married, meaning many, many people will want to deal with it and be a part of it. And there will be safety there, and there will be peace, and God's going to rule and reign. And you know that you've read that that's when they will beat their swords into plowshares. They will study war no more, that you read there near the beginning of Isaiah. That's when that's going to take place. When the wolf will lie down with the lamb. It doesn't say the lion. It says the wolf will lie down with the lamb. Because, see, the enemies of those lambs are the wolves. They come in sometime in sheep's clothing, but you know they're wolves. It's going to be. It's what he promised to me and to you. And what does he say? Don't give up. Sometimes you get working and business is, you are so busy, you've bumped into yourself three times today. You've been moving so fast and so hard. And man, and you think, man, it's falling apart around me. I can't keep up. Life, I can't keep up with it. Just rest. Continue to cry out to God. Cry out to the Lord. As a watchman on the wall, you got a responsibility. You see things that are coming. You need to tell people what's coming. There is trouble coming. And it's going to be much bigger than no electricity and no dial tone. There's real trouble coming on this earth. We know that because that's what the Word of God says. And the Word of God is solid and you can count on it. We know that. We need to tell people that there is good news. If we are so entangled with our own jealousies and our own hurts and our own greed and our own, well, I'm not treated the way I should and I'm not happy with my life, then you are never going to be able to share Jesus with someone. So he said, deny yourself, take up your cross and follow me. Yeah, but I got a lot of anxieties and hang-ups. And fine. Turn them over to the Lord, casting all your cares on him because he cares for you. See, it is too late for me and you to put our eyes on ourselves and try to be happy, healthy, and whole. There are people going to hell all around, and you work with them. You play sports with them. You need to show them Jesus Christ. They need to see the light that you are. You need to be the salt. That's the Spirit of God. It's just too late to worry about how someone is treating you and how rough we've got it. It's just too late. And don't look at any of the missions magazine if you really feel like your life is tough. Just don't look. It'll make you feel bad. But don't give up. You're the watchman that he set on the wall. It's going to come true. It's going to happen, he says. And then look at this. Verse 8. Excuse me. The Lord has sworn by his right hand and by the arm of his strength, surely I will no more give your corn to be meat for thine enemies. Right now, Israel's ripped off big time, and you know there's troubles going on, but God's going to stop it. The sons of the stranger shall not drink your wine, for the which you hast labored. But they that have gathered it shall eat it and praise the Lord. And they that have brought it together shall drink it in the courts of my holiness. When God comes back, he's going to set it all right. We keep saying that, but it keeps coming up over and over in the book of Isaiah. When the Lord comes back, he's going to set it straight. It's going to be right. Until then, don't expect it to be right. Expect it to be ugly and upside down, and expect to stay on the wall and keep preaching the gospel. However God will let you do it. Verse 10. Go through the gates. Prepare ye the way of the people. Cast up the highway. Gather out the stones. Lift up a standard for the people. Now, in those that language may not make sense to you, but we say it in our language this way. Go through hard and with a lot of energy. And build up. And both of those carry a sense of urgency. Do it now. Go through the gates. Just go running through. There's a sense of urgency involved in the language here. Go through. Build up. Prepare ye the way of the people. That means in our language, the people need to be ready. Who is going to prepare the way of the people in our lifetime for the return of Messiah? John the Baptist? Are you waiting for... There's a guy on the radio that comes on early, early mornings if you want to listen to him. He says he's the living prophet. You think he's going to do it? How many of you listen to him? Probably don't even know he's on. So he's not getting anywhere with the people that you're working with. If you're not up at 4:30 or so, you're going to miss it in the morning. I'm sure most of you are up reading by then instead of listening to your radio. Anyway, that's good. He says there's a sense of urgency. His people need to be ready, for he will come. Behold, the Lord hath proclaimed, unto the end of the world. Say ye to the daughter of Zion, behold, thy salvation is coming. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work is before him. He says, with a sense of urgency, go through the gate. Get moving. There is an urgency that you and I need to have, that the Spirit of God is placing on our hearts. It's time to spread the good news wherever you can. And again, first Jerusalem, then Judea, then Samaria, and then the othermost parts of the world. And don't ignore your backyard. We need to reach people that we're around. And if we won't reach those, then there's no need in pretending we're going to go far, far away, and then we'll be preaching the gospel. If we're not doing it here, we're not going to do it anywhere. If you're not serving here, you're not going to serve anywhere. Going over there isn't going to make you a servant. I think many people think, well, if I could just get far over there, I'd read my Bible more. Why would you? If you're not reading it now, you're not going to read it over there. You'll be busy and the bugs will be biting you and you'll be trying to get a mosquito net instead of reading your Bible. Or the bombs will be falling and you'll be busy running and you can't run and read. I mean, usually. No, do you really think that? The urgency is now. Go through the gates. Prepare ye the way of the people. Everyone, the people need to be prepared. Jesus is coming back and people need to know it. Cast up the highway. There needs to be a way. We must be prepared for his return. Prepare ye the way of the Lord. That's what John the Baptist said, I'm doing. What are you, man? What are you doing? Are you the Messiah? No, I am the voice in the wilderness crying, prepare ye the way. Jesus is coming. Every one of us that's a Christian knows that, and we want others to hear about it. And we'll do whatever God will let us do. Doesn't matter how we get to do it. We can do it with music. We can do it with teaching. We can do it with sharing one-on-one. We can do it with cassette tapes. We can do it with radio. We can do it with however God will allow it until he shuts it all down, can't we? However God will allow it. Some of us have talent in one area. Some have talent in another area. Some people couldn't get to the radio. Some people couldn't do music. But there are so many ways that it can be done that you don't limit it. You look for ways because there's an urgency. We need to be preparing that highway to heaven. You'll find that in Isaiah back there in around 38 or so, 28. That highway, the King's highway. None can go up there but the pure in heart. That's what we're talking about. Prepare the way of the Lord. Turn back to him. Come back to where you know you belong. Christian, it's time for me and you. Come back to where we know we belong. Talking to some people this week, they say, we're really having trouble. Well, the answer is to go back to your first love, Jesus Christ. He's going to write that in the book of Revelation, read through chapters 2 and 3, and you'll see in there, to that church, he writes, you've left your first love. You need to come back. Remember the days when you said, I'll do anything. I'll just give you my life. I'll do anything. Now you've come to the point where you say, I don't like so-and-so anymore. I don't like the attitudes of those people over there. Now you've lost it. You can't serve because you're hindered by all. Notice it's everybody. Everybody's a mess. I'm the only one doing great. You know, that was the way it was in marching band, too. That's what my mother would say when the band would come by. She'd say, look at my son. He's the only one in step. You know, that's the way we are. Because you notice if everybody else would straighten out, man, this would be a great place. Behold, the Lord hath proclaimed to the end of the world. Say to the daughter of Zion, behold, your salvation is coming. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work is before him. And they shall call them the holy people, the redeemed of the Lord. And you shall be called sought out a city not forsaken. Jesus Christ is coming back. Remember earlier he said, lift up a standard, verse 10. Lift up a standard for the people. To lift up a standard or a banner, a flag type thing, was a way of announcing something. And so when the children of Israel, when it was time to move, when the cloud would lift up and they would start folding up the tents and all, they would raise up the banner when it was time to move. That banner, because you got millions of people, how are you going to yell? No, you're going to raise up that banner high. When they lifted up that standard, everybody could see that flag and say, it's time to move on. You follow the flag. And what God is saying is we need to lift up a standard, a banner, a way of announcing something. The nations are to be told loudly and clearly that Jesus is coming again. The salvation that's been promised, Jesus Christ, he is on his way back. I got an email from one of the pastors today, and he said to me, he said, because I sent out something, and he got it, and he said, it was just what I needed. You know how sometimes that just happens? Just what he needs before he's wanted to quit ministry and run away. He said, that was just what I needed. So I thought, oh, cool. So I emailed him back. Revelation 22:20. It says, he which testifies these things says, surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so, come Lord Jesus. I said, that's all. Just hang on, man. Jesus Christ is coming back. Revelation 22:12. Says, behold, Jesus speaking, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give every man according as his work shall be. I am Alpha Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Then you go down further, and I'll read you 22:20 again. He which testifies these things says, surely, or for sure, I come quickly. Even so, the reply is, amen, even so, come Lord Jesus. Till he shows up, we're to cry out to him and never faint. To pray always, never give up, stay on the wall, and never remain silent. But to share with whoever is willing to listen to you. Lift up the standard so that people can see. The Lord Jesus Christ is coming back soon. Prepare ye the way. Everybody get ready. That's the message that we've got in Isaiah 62. Let's bow our heads together.